Well, if you have your Bible, Psalm 27, it might be an unusual Christmas text, but it is what the Lord has put in my heart. Let me read just two verses in your hearing, and then we're going to preach from chapter 27 for just a few minutes today. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. I want to read verse 13 and verse number 14, and maybe this will make a little bit more sense to you when we get into it. I hope that it does. David, if you remember correctly, he's the man after God's own heart. He's the one that's writing in Psalm 27, and he said, I had fainted. That's a man of God, Brother Steve, that's saying that. He's saying, I what happened? I would have fainted. Now, to faint physically is one thing, but to faint spiritually is another thing. And I promise you this, there's a lot of people that used to be in the house of God on Sunday that have fainted. And David, a man after God's own heart, said, I had fainted unless, I love that word, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, he said. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you for being here. Be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for your people. Thank you for your presence. Lord, from the children, Lord, and the program, the singing, the fellowship, Lord, that's so sweet. We ask you, Father, today just to speak through us today. Help us, our Father, to be an encouragement to these that have gathered here in the house of the Lord this day. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want to bring about several things out of this chapter. And the first thing I want to talk about, that we shouldn't faint because there's a faith that's real. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. How many can say that this morning? The Lord is my light and my salvation. My wife said to me a while ago, well, I guess it was yesterday we were out, and you need to pray for us. We got our Christmas shopping started yesterday. You say, preacher, I'd be ashamed. I'm not a bit ashamed. We pour our lives into others, and I believe our priorities are right. But I want you to know that she said to him yesterday, she said, honey, you think we should put those lights and the deer? She got a set of deer for Christmas a year or two back. It light up at night, and they're really pretty. And she said, you think we should put them up? Now listen, this is just a few days before Christmas. I said, yeah, baby. I said, the kids will love them when they come in. So we're going to put the lights. She said, when are you going to do that? I don't know, but we're going to do it. Amen. We'll do it before Christmas Eve that evening so that when the kids come and it's dark, amen, the lights will be up. But I'm glad I can say this morning, the Lord is my light. If I didn't have a Christmas light, I have Christ, the light, the light of Christmas. He is my light and my salvation. And I appreciate that. I want to read something that I hope will be a blessing to you. This letter was found in a baking powder can. You remember when baking powder used to come in a can? And it was found wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail across Nevada's Amargosa Desert. It said, this pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has got to be primed. This is the note that was in that can. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun and the cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest medium fast and pump like crazy, and you'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next feller. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold. You know what I believe? I believe that a lot of people are going to go through Christmas, and they're not going to prime the pump. They're not going to get all they can hold because they're not going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I sat there this morning as God was dealing with my heart and fingered them out around my heart and looked up there, Brother Steve, you are way behind. And now, Brother Sam, you're one ahead of me. There's 11 stockings hanging up there. I think we'll get one for the dog so we can keep up with Sam. Amen. But there's 11 stockings that represent grandchildren hanging up there in our living room. And I want to just say God's been good to me. God's given me a precious wife. She came in this morning and said, honey, do you like my dress? I said, it's beautiful. But it's not nearly as beautiful as she is. God's been good to me. I have a light in my heart, the light of God's salvation, the Lord Jesus, and the goodness of God. Brother Ralph, as you all sung the song, many are going to see the lights and they're going to see the tree and they're going to see the ornaments and they're going to see the wrapper, but they're not going to see the goodness of God this Christmas season. I believe something to eat, something to wear, a family that loves you, a Savior that lives on the inside of you and that's coming back to get you. I tell you, beloved, that ought to be enough to thrill every heart and thrill every soul. And so David said, there's a faith that's real. I believe to see. A lot of people will say this. They'll say, show it to me and I'll believe it. God said, believe me and I'll show it to you. Hallelujah. That night when I was lost and I made a step towards an old-fashioned altar, I didn't know what to expect, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew he was the Savior, and I believed, amen. And boy, he's still showing me, amen, because I believe there's a faith that is real. Secondly, I want you to think about this. I'm just looking at the scripture here. The Bible said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. This world is in a mess. That not only is there, if we will believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, not only is there a faith that is real, but there is a fear that is removed. We don't have to be afraid, amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. Virginia's right next door. And if you've not been paying any attention, beloved, listen. There's some bad things going on in the state of Virginia. And I'm telling you, it's coming to a head. It's coming to a boil, amen? You've got some nuts up there in the northern part of that state, beloved, that are after the Second Amendment. Are you listening to me? Wanting men to register their guns. And I'm just telling you, I don't believe it'll happen without a fight. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I'm not afraid. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully, beloved. Listen, there's all kinds of schools of thought in this world, but right here's the school of thought that you and I ought to be interested in. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and we don't have to be afraid. David said, the Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He had men that hated him, men that wanted to kill him, men that were envious of him and jealous of him. And beloved, listen, he understood that God was greater than all of his enemies. Amen. Beloved, listen, there's a fear that is removed. Whom shall I fear? The Lord, excuse me, is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Many this Christmas will be afraid and full of fear because they're not full of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there a faith that's real, a fear that is removed, but there's a foe in this chapter that is relentless. Look in verse number 2. When the wicked, he said, even mine enemies and my foes came up against me to eat my flesh, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. He said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. If you look down in verse number 12, he said, excuse me, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I'm telling you, beloved, we have an enemy. And that enemy is relentless. He's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until God finally at last puts him down once and for all. I thought about this even as we've announced the prayer requests and so many families, beloved, listen, are brokenhearted this Christmas season. The Word of God said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, thank God, beloved, listen, we have one that is a victor over the enemy this morning. The foe, he's relentless. But I want to give you this morning. If we're going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, the fourth thing that the Lord spoke to my heart about is there's a fellowship that is required. There's a lot of people that don't believe this is required. They believe that you can be just as happy without the church as you can with the church. But I want to show you something, beloved, in verse number 4. David, the man after God's own heart, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And the Word of God said, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I say thank God for the fellowship with God, with God's people that takes place around the house of God. There's a fellowship that's required. Oh, beloved friend, I think about my family. Yes, I do. But I think about the family of God. I'm so glad He put me in the family of God. Brother Steve mentioned it this morning. It's just good to be counted among the children of God. There's a fellowship that's required. Oh, beloved friend, David, he's the man after God's own heart. But he said, I'd have fell over, I'd have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Beloved, I want to say this to you. We have several treat bags left. If you didn't get a treat bag last Sunday, I'd love for you to get one before you leave today. If you weren't here last Sunday and you didn't get one. But I want to say this to you. I've heard my dad. I've heard him talk about it. Beloved, I believe there were times in their childhood that there's more in our treat bag at Bible Way Baptist Church than there was in his entire Christmas. I'm telling you, you might get a pair of pants and an orange or an apple. And I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, that God has been good to us. That, beloved, listen, that ought not to be the things, amen, and the stuff that excites us at Christmas time. It ought to be the Savior, amen, that came down here and gave Himself for us. There's a fellowship that's required. But let me give you in verse number 5, there's a Father that is ready. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in the pavilion. Listen to me. If you listen to some of them crazy TV preachers, they'll tell you that you won't never be in trouble. Amen? If you love God and you give them $200. You know what I'm talking about. Say amen. The man after God's own heart found himself in a time of trouble. But you know what he found? He found that God was right there on the spot. A very present help in a time of trouble. Amen. The Word of God said, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Oh, somebody said the church is going down. Not the one I belong to. Thank God the one I belong to is going up, because we're standing on the rock, the blessed rock of ages. Amen. The Father's ready. The Father's reliable. And when we need Him, He'll be right there. He'll be right there. He will be right there in a moment of time for God's people. There's a faith that's real. I see the goodness of the Lord to you. There's a fear that's removed. There's a foe. He's relentless, but greater is he that's in us. There's a fellowship required. There's a Father that's standing ready. Amen. And then I want you to see this, number 6 in the message. Look at verse number 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Brother Steve mentioned a while ago, listen, I think about my mom, I think about my dad at this time of year. Really, Christmas don't even get here till I think about my dad, because my dad and I, Brother Eddie, once or twice a year, not a lot, but we'd go hunting together. We'd meet up and go to the woods. We both enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it more than he did, but anyway, he did enjoy it. Dad had a bad problem when he was sitting in the woods. He was thinking of 10,000 other things he could be doing, amen? But anyway, I got over that. Amen. I didn't go to the woods to think of 10,000 other things I could be doing. Now, I spend a lot of time in the Bible and a lot of time praying, a lot of time meditating, and I love the Lord, amen, and I love to be alone at times, amen. I love people, love to be with people, but I believe there's a balance, amen. But I'm going to tell you, I miss my dad and I miss my mom, especially at Christmas time. We always went to their house and we were always welcome. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe God wants me to hang my head. I believe he wants me to rejoice. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said here. It said, my head be lifted above mine enemies. I'm going to offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I'm going to sing. Yea, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. I believe we ought to praise him, because thank God, even though mom's gone to glory and dad's gone to glory, I got grandparents in glory, aunts and uncles in glory. They're piling up in glory, amen. But it ain't going to be long until the Lord's going to step out on that cloud and say, it's enough, youngins. Come on home, amen. And we're all going to be gathered together. And while we're waiting, we ought to be praising his holy name. Praising him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. David believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to give you this, and I'm done in the message today. Look in verse number 7. The word of God said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Watch this now. When thou saidest, the Lord said, seek ye my face. You know what will make Christmas Christmas? Seeking the face of God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. He said, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I believe, beloved, there's a face that's requested. In other words, David said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. I'm so afraid that at Christmas time, so many people, they're seeking a present. They're seeking just the get-togethers. They're seeking the food and missing the main part of Christmas, and that's seeking the face of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, God's been good to us, youngins. And beloved, listen, if you're here today and you don't know him, I want to encourage you to seek his face. If you're here today and you do know him, listen to this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If God had his way, there'd be some people that would get right with God, because they would say things like this. Lord, I've been so frustrated. Lord, I've been trying to do so much. Lord, I've gotten my eyes off of the real meaning of Christmas. I appreciate a mother that wants Christmas to be just right. I appreciate the folks around our church that want the play and the Christmas party, the parade, want everything to be just right. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If we take our focus off of him, it won't be just right. I'm telling you, the just ride is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. My heart was thrilled as God dealt with me about this message. Listen, you say, preacher, what do you mean? What if the kids don't do something just right? Our heart ought to be thrilled that they're doing something for God. What if somebody forgets a line, or what if something don't work right? I just say, hallelujah. I see the goodness of the Lord, and that a bunch of people want to come together and work together and exalt His name. Amen. I see the goodness of the Lord. I heard that Sister Mary was concerned and just wanted the party to be just right. That's all great. That's all wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, if we get everything else just right and miss Him, we didn't get it right. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, in your home this Christmas, be sure to seek His face. Be sure to have a time of prayer. Be sure to open that Bible like these youngins did up here and read the Christmas story. I told this often. I tell it again. There's some people here that haven't heard it, and I'll tell it for you. For the rest of you, put up with me a few minutes. I talked about forbearing one another. Just put up with it, amen? Just a few minutes. Several years ago at Christmas, the grand youngins came, and three of them came early, come at noon. The other two weren't going to come. These were Amanda's children. They weren't going to come till about 5 or 6. And the boys came to me and said, can we open a Christmas present? And I think I did what every wise papa should do. I said, go ask your mamaw. Now you tell me that ain't wisdom. Say amen. And mamaw said, yes, you can open a present. Just one, until the others got there later. I mean, they were going to have to stay there 5 hours looking at that tree and all them presents. And I'm telling this for Miss Rachel. She's enjoying it, whether anybody else is or not. Amen. Well, they came in there, and there was Aubrey, and there was Aaron, and there was Avery. And, boy, they made a nosedive towards the tree. And I said, wait a minute. What? I said, we never open a present until we read the Christmas story. Oh, it like to kill them. Got over there and they sat on the hearth. I can remember Charity sitting there with Aubrey between her legs. How old was Aubrey, Charity? Where you at, Charity? She ain't in here. She left me. Oh, she's back there. About 5, maybe 6. Aubrey, 5 or 6. She was how old? 7 or 8. Okay. See, I can see. Amen. She gave me sign language. Amen. 7 or 8, Aubrey was 7 or 8. And I said, now listen, you're going to have to pay attention while I'm reading the story because I'm going to ask questions along the way. And so I would ask a question. And of course, them boys, they wasn't thinking about no Christmas story. They didn't, they could get this over with, Papa. Oh, there's something under that tree. But Aubrey was, she kept answering the questions. And I thought, boy, that youngin's bright, until I realized Charity was whispering the answers into her ear. Amen. Well, everything went good through the Christmas storm. We had prayer. And the other kids showed up about 5 or 5:30. And then it was, can we open the rest of our presents, Papaw? And I said, yeah, I guess so. And so they made a dive towards the tree. But Aubrey, I'll never forget it. She hugged me right around the waist and looked up at me and said, Papaw, can we read it again? I know the answers this time. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I want you to know Aubrey's name was Mud because there were 4 boys that were going to have to wait now while we read it again. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Don't miss Christmas. Don't faint on God because of the trials, because of the adversity, because a loved one's gone. Believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The kids were up here and they read the Christmas story a while ago. And all I can say is this. Let's read it again. It blessed my heart this morning when they were reading it, amen. And I get tickled at some of them reading. I call them speed readers. But I tell you what, that what they're going to do is get in and out. They get in front of that microphone, gone. Amen. I know what they were doing. They were mocking preacher. That's what they were doing, amen. They thought they had to say it all right quick. I enjoyed it so much. Let's not forget, beloved, to seek his face. Let's not forget. Let's just keep Christ in the middle of our Christmas. And I'm just wondering, if a man like David, a man after God's own heart, if he could get in a shape where he'd say, I had fainted. Brother Steve, for many, what you've been through in the last couple months would be a light thing. But it ain't been easy. There have been times when you got discouraged. Times when Sister Cindy just added to that. Don't shake that head. You've told me when she said, you can't do that. You can't do that. She was looking out for his best interest. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If we get our eyes on him, seek his face, I believe what we could come away with is God is good. All the time. If we just seek his face. Brother Houston, you need to seek his face because that might get Gwen sitting with you over there again. Amen. I am just not used to this, but I'm telling you what's the truth. Sister, I look back there, and there's Brother Houston, and there's Josh, and there they are. Nobody to help them. Amen. Miss Amanda slid over. But I believe we ought to seek his face. If you're here today, I want to ask you a question. Can you honestly say, the Lord is my light and my salvation? Brother Grizzle, that's Christmas, ain't it, brother? He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Little boy in Sunday school was memorizing the first verse of Psalm 23, and his version came out like this. The Lord is my shepherd. What else could I want? This morning, I pray that everyone has a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. That you'll be able to see Christ in what's going on. That you'll realize, listen, I'm not trying to be I'm just being sincere. When a mamaw and a papaw get together with all them grand youngins, listen to me carefully. Somebody might say, well, you never know when mamaw, grandpa's going to leave here, papaw's going to leave here. We never know when one of our children won't be there or one of our grandchildren won't be there. He said, preacher, you've lost your mind. I cannot promise you that we'll ever meet again like we will this Christmas. But I can promise you this. I'm going to enjoy them while I have them. And I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in their little faces. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord, amen, in their lives. Not going to take them for granted. Augustine said, understanding is the reward of faith. He said, therefore, seek not to understand that thou mayest believe, but believe that thou mayest understand. Beloved, if you'll trust Jesus, you'll understand how good it is to know that your sins have been forgiven, to know that heaven will be your home when you leave this world. Amen. Let's bow for prayer this morning.